let's get back to the show now. We have Jack Collier on the line from Hawaii, and Jeff is a caller from Monroe, and Jeff has mentioned deja vu.
And I'll share something with you that's really, you know, I can understand that your attitude is really hard to believe, you know, most of this stuff like that. And well, anyway, I used to work at when I got out of high school, I was going to join the Army, and then I had a prominent elite sporting goods store in town that hired me, and so I went to work for them. And I was working for them for a couple of years, and one day I came back from lunch, and while at lunch, someone had come in and traded it's a cap and ball revolver. It's called an 1860 Army cap and ball revolver made by Colt, made back in the Civil War, and it was an original. It was in the case, you know, for sale. I think it's about $1,200 for sale. They traded it in on some guns, this, that, and the other. And I had never had an opportunity. I've seen, you know, several in the museum, this, that, and the other, but I never had a chance to actually hold one in my hand. And you've heard of deja vu?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, this was, I guess, touch deja vu or something like that. So I said, no, that's neat. You know, since I work here, I got a key to the counter and all. You know, I said, let me feel that and look at that and see, you know, what kind of condition it is and so forth. And so I opened the counter and picked up the gun. And I swear to goodness, it was really the damnedest thing. When I felt the gun, I knew that I had felt that gun or held that gun. It's the strangest feeling that I had. I don't believe in past lives, you know, per se.
And Jack, you've talked about more than one soul, and you've talked about people not on the. In other words, you don't really feel people die, right?
No, I do not believe so.
So what can you say to somebody like Jeff who thinks he might have a connection of a previous life? Is that possible?
Yes, absolutely, it's possible. Jeff, sometimes earlier in your life, you may have had what is called a near-death experience from a fall or from a blow on the head of which you lost some time. And an ancestor or a person very close to you may have come and spoken with you and given you some instructions when you were in that semi-unconscious state. This is my own case, and I can explain how this happened when I talk about the Phoenix Project that happened after the Philadelphia Experiment.
Okay, let's talk about the Phoenix Project. We're running out of time here,
yeah.
Jack, for this hour, and a lot of people won't be able to hang around for the next hour. So.
Okay, just quickly, after 10 or 12 days, I reported back duty and kept on doing my job as I could. But then in May of 1944, we went back to Philadelphia again, but there was no ship involved. There was a cylinder that had been designed after that, and in which you were placed in this cylinder, and it was energized, and my other male soul left my body. There was instructions given to that soul before it left to go into another dimension and work with other people at other dimensions to find a cure for AIDS and other allied diseases that was inflicting many, many diseases and problem-causing for human beings on the planet Earth. And it would become epidemic by 1993. And I was programmed in 1944 to talk about this in 1993. And so from what happened between those years is, you know, there was many highlights, of course. But my travels took me all over the United States and different places. And eventually I was to start meeting with masters that was coming from India. My first experience was with a fellow named Swami Muktananda. And I spent some time with him. And then he went on to set up other centers around the United States. And then another man came from India, and he took me back to India with him. And from there, I was introduced to a man named Sai Baba. He's pretty well known all over the country because I had started to learn by this time, 20 years earlier, a process that was called, in the Western world, called a Kundalini. That's a word that probably is pretty well known across the United States now. It has a Sanskrit word from India called the Shakti or the Shaktipa, the transference of that energy from one person to another. It's an energy of awakening to the maximum of your potential, whether you're a walk-in or whether you're not. And so I studied that in order to survive and get my own energy to the point where I could accept. I need to regress back to 1945. After I was discharged from the service, I went back to Washington, D.C. Harry Truman was president then. He also knew a lot of my family. And I told him about the experiment that happened in Philadelphia.
You personally knew President Truman?
Yes, I did.
Let's follow that up here in a moment. Okay. This is Jerry Pippin on the line. We have Jack Collier. And, Jack, we're talking about the Phoenix Project right now. That happened in 1944, correct?
Right.
And in 45, you went to Washington. You're from Missouri originally, as we talked about. So
yep.
You knew President Truman.
Okay.
At least you got acquainted with him at that point, if not before. And you talked. He was president by this time, correct?
Yes. I was discharged in June of 1945 because they no longer needed, the war in Europe was over. And so, you know, I had this incredible feeling, and I didn't hardly know what to do with it, but I had an occasion to go to Washington, D.C., and I went and talked to Truman, and I told him all about it. And that was the first that he even knew about it, because the President Roosevelt never knew. And so he called Albert Einstein and his wife down from Cambridge, and we spent about 10 days in the White House. And they did calculations of the energy that was used, and of course he was there present at the Phoenix Project, also with Edgar Casey.
Now this was in 1945?
44.
44.
In 45 I was already out of the service. I had been overseas, over to North Africa and Sicily and Italy and that part, and came back.
Now, did Edgar Casey, did he go to the White House, too, with you?
No.
Okay.
I never saw Edgar Casey again. I met his son several times after that, but never. Casey, I think, died in 1946.
Now, what was President Truman's reaction? He didn't know anything about this, so he had to be aghast.
Well, yeah, he was. And so I said, well, you know, Einstein is still up at Cambridge. And so he sent a message to Albert and his and Albert's wife, Elsa, and they came down to the White House, and they talked about it and the figures that he had. And this being, I believe it was September of 1945 when I was there. And he said, I do not believe that you will hear from your twin soul, Roger.
And now, that was your brother.
Yeah, he said, I think it'll be about 30 years. So he said, the main thing for you to do is just to try to live a normal life the best you can.
Now, who told you this?
Albert Einstein.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. I had a lot of faith in the man.
Well, sure.
Because he had postulated what would happen.
Right. So that was 46?
That was 45.
45. So in 75, did you hear from your...
It was 76.
76.
Yeah. And I was back.
So his prediction was right on.